Let's have a blessing to everyone. If you can kneel where you're at, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we trust you, and we love you. We thank you, Father, for blessing us with another day of life and another Sabbath day wherein you change the showbread. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak so that you are glorified. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain, the faith that moves mountains, the character of your Son, especially in the areas of meekness and patience and showing love towards one another. Thank you for blessing those that help us do this work. And thank you for blessing them in a special way the way you do. And keeping them faithful, keeping that hedge of angels around them and us. We lift up everyone that's on our prayer list. And by name, you know, we have a few extras that we, new ones that we usually share each week. And so I'd like to lift them up. I lift up Tim and Gail. Brother Gary's mom. I don't know what's going on with that. I just heard she was in pretty bad shape a couple days ago. So I don't know. But if she has passed on, we pray that the family's blessed. Because the woman was ready. We lift up Sister Jean and the two little kids that are dealing with a very scary situation that she knows about. Brother Weber's brother, France, with whatever the situation is there. And Clive and Kim, who need your guidance. Little DJ here, that you heal him and bless him in every way that he needs. And Emmanuel, who has a aunt by the name of Mabel that needs your guidance. Sister Kara's husband, who's out of work. Jacqueline's family. James' uncle, Doug. Aunt Cecilia's sister, who's also in a dangerous situation. As his brother Rick's son. Well, both his sons are on our permanent prayer list as well. And Father, I ask for a healing of whatever's going on with me. I don't know. I just thank you for healing me or directing me to that natural method that would make everything okay. And I also lift up this extra work that we want to do in regards to the video work and pretty soon the teaching regarding the natural healings teachings is going to start up soon, we're hoping, and so we pray for your hand on that as well. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Let me lock this in on the server. Okay. Well, Sabbath blessings to everyone. For those of you that aren't using the phone or the radio, the website is remnantofgod.org. We are in Great Controversy, Chapter 4, towards the end of it, of Chapter 4, the middle of page 75. We might be able to get done with this chapter today. I've already got chapter 5 on the server, just in case. Because the chapters in this book are pretty long. But it's an amazing book. Yeah, it is locked in. Yes, it's locked in. So anybody that falls out or comes in, this is what you're going to be seeing. It'll bring you right to the middle of page 75. You're very welcome. All right. Oh, we also have to lift up Josh Laswell, who's been staying with us here. He is already in Georgia visiting a friend. And we're praying everything, he's safe there. And he makes it back okay. All right. The middle of page 75, Great Controversy. If I'm not mistaken, this is the 1888 edition. For those of you listening, you know, on the phone or wherever, radio, because you don't have it in front of you here, as we do here in the room. Starts off with, a tide of sacred joy will fill the heart, and the name of Jesus would be magnified by praise and thanksgiving. So I better backtrack why she said that. So going back one paragraph, it says, faith grasped the promise and glad response was heard. And the glad response was heard. No more long pilgrimages to make, no more painful journeys to holy shrines. I may come to Jesus just as I am, sinful and unholy, and he will not spurn the penitential prayer. Thy sins be forgiven thee, mine, even mine, may be forgiven. And every time I see that, it reminds me of Catholicism, where it says you have to make the long pilgrimages, or even the Buddhists, where they roll around on, or climb those temples on their kneecaps until they're bleeding, believing this is what they... Okay. Will do. Thanks, Dick and Lane. But, we can go to Christ without having to worry about whitewashing the walls and hanging the pictures up straight and dusting off the Bibles, and you know what I mean. A lot of people, I'll look for Jesus when I have time, and I got to clean up my life first before I reach out and decide to become a Christian. No, you got to come to him as you are. And she goes on to say that a tide of sacred joy will fill the heart, and the name of Jesus would be magnified by praise and thanksgiving. And I got to tell you, this is what it felt like when I found Christ the first time. As lowly and sinful as I was, it was a big weight lifted off, because I knew I couldn't stop all the sins that I was committing. I just couldn't do it. I tried. It was impossible to stop. And then when I met him and I felt his presence the very first time, it was like, okay, so that's how easy it is. It was like, okay, granted, I wasn't chuckling at the time, but I was pretty scared, to be honest with you. I was all alone, and it was an amazing experience. One day I'll share it, but it's more or less personal, and it's not, I don't know where it would, if it would help someone, I would, of course, share it. So, continuing, she says, those happy souls return to their homes to diffuse light, to repeat to others, as well as they could, their new experience, that they had found the true and living way. There was a strange and solemn power in the words of Scripture that spoke directly to the hearts of those who were longing for the truth. And the other toss of the coin is the other people are telling you to shut up and calling you a Jesus freak and everything else. But that now, that kind of didn't happen to me, but I remember watching, before I became a Christian, I saw other people that had that light that they had to diffuse. It's like Jeremiah said, it's a fire that burns within. You can't quench it. I mean, all of a sudden, it's like, wow. It's a revelation, and you can't contain it. You gotta tell. It's something that's so amazing. So it's better than finding $1 billion in unmarked bills. You know, it's, you can't explain it, and the joy that you have, and so you want to share this naturally with others. And yes, some people are going to be so on fire to want to hear it, and they're going to be so blessed by what you share, and but others are going to be very hateful and not want to hear it. You know. And so she says, in regarding those who were longing for the truth that you're sharing, it says, it was the voice of God, and it carried conviction to those who heard. The messenger of truth went on his way, but his appearance of humility, his sincerity, his earnestness, and deep fervor were subjects of frequent remark. Okay, I should have just continued reading on. She says, in many instances, his hearers had not asked him whence he came or whither he went. They had been so overwhelmed at first with surprise and afterward with gratitude and joy that they had not thought to question him. When they had urged him to accompany them to their homes, he had replied that he must visit the lost sheep of the flock. Could he have been an angel from heaven, they queried? Okay, then I misunderstood her in the start here. But, because I was thinking about more or less on the other end of things, where the people have a tendency to get upset And Rose asks, isn't that righteousness by works? No. I don't. What is righteousness by works? What are you talking about? In what context? I must have said something that brought the question forward. But our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. In fact, it is Christ our righteousness. And so, by their faith, you'll know their faith by their works. It's another verse that comes to mind. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. You will have the works of righteousness, but it's not what, it's just like with the Ten Commandments. I don't keep the Ten Commandments to get saved. That's what a lot of people think. They all think that, as a matter of fact. All the people that don't keep Sabbath holy and they keep Sunday holy instead, and they look at us and they say, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. And say, oh, you're trying to get to heaven by your works. I'm sorry. When Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them, that's what he was talking about here. The Ten Commandments can't save anybody. If it could, the Jews would be in heaven, you know, as well as us. But that's not true because they deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We don't keep the Ten Commandments to get saved. We keep the Ten Commandments because we are saved. Yeah, amen, because I am saved. It's out of, well, when the Spirit comes into your heart, and like the Lord said, I'll write the law on the fleshly tables of the heart. You can't help but keep the Ten Commandments. It always reminds me of that one guy that was being sold as a slave back in the 1700s of America. And I've got to share this because, it just keeps coming to mind. And this is a good way to explain why people keep the Ten Commandments as Christians. There was this man who was being sold, like all the other people that were being sold. And the sad thing is, their own people sold them. It wasn't the white man, as many think. It was their own people in Africa selling them to the white men. They were the ones that were trapping them and bringing them. But that goes, that's neither here nor there for this point. But they had all these people, I guess they're selling them this, and a guy that doesn't want to be sold is yelling and screaming the whole time, I'm going to be the lousiest slave you ever had, I'm going to cause you hassles. I mean, it just goes on for hours and hours. He keeps yapping and screaming and yelling, right? No one wants to buy him, of course, and so at the end of the auction, he's the last one, of course, and some guy walks up and he gets him at a real low price because no one else wanted to buy him, so they had to get some money for him, so they figured, a couple of bucks, and he's yours, and the guy says, okay, here's the money, and he took him, puts him in the cage at the back of his trailer or horse buggy, and the whole time, for a day or two it took him to get home, all he heard was the guy every chance he got. The guy would yell and scream about how he's going to be a lousy slave and he's going to have to whip and beat him, and he says, I'm not going to do anything for you. And at the end of the journey, right before he reached his own land, he stopped, got out, opened the gate up, told the guy to get out, and says, you're a free man. I bought you to make you a free man. The man collapsed, dropped at the man's feet, and says, I will do anything for you for the rest of my life. That's why I keep the Ten Commandments. I was in that cage too, and Jesus saved me from my sins. And I kicked and screamed the whole way there too, like all of us did. We didn't want to become Christians. We didn't want anything to do with it. But then all of a sudden one day when we had that revelation from him that it was, there was just all this love involved, that's when you collapse and you drop at his feet and say, Father, and Jesus, I mean, I'll do anything you say for the rest of my life. Just give me the strength to do it. So it's not, we don't keep the commandments to get saved. We keep them because we are saved. We can't help but do it because we know it makes him happy. And I want to do everything I possibly can to please him because I love him so much for what he did for me. And so, anyway, continuing. She goes on to say, I think that's what Rose was, the question was, or there was other questions too, but I kind of think that's where it was leading as to why a righteous act was done in a certain way. But amen, Rose, that's what the Catholic does. She was asking to, all right, that's good, yeah. Yeah, because the Catholic will do that. They think that they've got to genuflect. They've got to make the sign of the cross. They've got to pray the rosary. They've got to go to confession. They got to do penance. They got to do this. They got to do that. They got to do this. They got to do that. And the whole time they're doing all that, because I used to teach Roman Catholicism, the whole time you're doing all those rituals and those scapulars and the icons and and all these weird things that they, you know, I mean, just way, 86.2% of Roman Catholicism is not in the Bible, and I know that because I used to teach it. And at the end of all that, after it's all said and done, you still had to teach to the people that you can't have full assurance that you're going to still go to heaven. That's why they invented purgatory, so they can get even more money out of you. Yeah, that's just, yeah. It's that, yeah, and a lot of people don't know. That's why I praise the Lord that I was allowed to be a Catholic for 29 years. A lot of people don't know what goes behind the closed doors of the Catholic Church. That's another reason why I put Sister Charlotte's story on the website, what Craig is just talking about there. She was a nun. It's real. I mean, if you don't know anything about Catholicism, at least listen to her story. Catholicism is paganism. It is just downright paganism, and with all these Christian names on, all these rituals, and it's insane the amount of stuff you have to do, and you still can't get to heaven. You still don't have absolute assurance. It's like Rose said, that's what the Catholics do. So thank you for bringing that up, sister. So continuing, in many cases, the messenger of truth was seen no more. Yeah, even the sacraments. That's the, you know, they have seven sacraments that you got to do in order to make it to heaven. And one of them, you have to actually allow a bishop to slap you in the face. So continuing, she says, in many cases, the messenger of truth was seen no more. He had made his way to other lands, or he was wearing out his life in some unknown dungeon, or perhaps his bones were whitening on the spot where he had witnessed for the truth. In other words, they killed him. But the words he had left behind could not be destroyed. They were doing their work in the hearts of men. The blessed results will be fully known only in the judgment. This is what I'm working towards. And I'm not working towards it to get a big old crown on it. I want to see how much the Lord used the words that he allowed us to share to bring even more into the fold. That's how exciting it is to me, because I know it's like that old shampoo commercial back in the 1970s. You tell two friends about it, and they'll tell two friends about it, and so on and so on. You know, they kept showing the pictures on the screen. The girl's face just kept multiplying all over the screen. It's the same thing with anything else. It's just like the old saying goes, no man is an island. You could just share Christianity with someone, and you've never met them. In your whole life, you've never met the person. Think about that. You never met them, yet you shared your faith with them. How? By the way you carried yourself walking down the street when someone was attacking you. Or the way you handle the situation in an elevator when someone got in your face for your faith, when you were sharing it with a friend. Someone else was in the elevator watching, and you never met the person, but that, the way you handled it. Or like the one woman that was listening in on all the phone calls, because she was the operator of the hospital. She heard this other woman testify as to why the Lord blessed her with a child that was severely disabled. The way that Christian woman responded to not understanding the Father's will in the whole situation, but she would accept it irregardless because she loved the Father so much, that woman was moved in a mighty way, and she never met the woman until days later. That's one of the things about our walk. Right on the top of page 76, going to the second paragraph, which says, the Waldensian missionaries were invading the kingdom of Satan, and the powers of darkness aroused to greater vigilance. Every effort to advance the truth was watched by the prince of evil, and he excited the fears of his agents. The papal leaders saw a portent of danger to their cause from the labors of these humble interns. If the light of truth were allowed to shine unobstructed, it would sweep away the heavy clouds of error that enveloped the people. It would direct the minds of men to God alone and would eventually destroy the supremacy of Rome. The very existence of this people, holding the faith of the ancient church, was a constant testimony to Rome's apostasy and therefore excited the most bitter hatred and persecution. Their refusal to surrender the scriptures was also an offense that Rome could not tolerate. She determined to blot them from the earth. I've got quotes. I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff that's on my Words of a Beast page. And Brother Rob's got a page on his website. What is it called again? It was something sayings. I got it linked from the Words of a Beast page. What did you call that page, Rob? It has some sayings of the Vatican or some sayings of the Roman Catholic Church. I can't remember what he named it. But I got it linked to my Words of a Beast page. But I got a ton of quotes on there where they literally... I mentioned a couple of those quotes, and the other day I did a little blurb on my blog on the website, about these weird things that they're doing, and how the Vatican has got a little bit more control now. And where was it? Which article? I'm trying to see here. Yeah, Roman Catholic Supreme Court. There. Because they're Obama wants to put a sixth Roman Catholic on the 9, you know, seat bench of the Supreme Court. They've already got 5 Catholics on there. But this woman's, well, you know, she's a racist as well as a pro-abortionist. And she's Catholic. And, but there's a reason to have that many Catholics on the Supreme Court, for the same reason that they have this hatred of the truth we share. The devil's doing everything he could possibly do to get to the point where what we do is going to become illegal. I mean, Rome has hated Bible teachers since they started. I mean, like on my Words of the Beast page, there's a section in there just about how much they want to destroy Bible societies, burn up their homes, and destroy. I mean, this is one of the reasons people were killed. 500 million people were killed because of the Bibles they had in their hands. And so it's no mistake they've got these people in the Supreme Court that are Roman Catholics, because they're taught from day one as Roman Catholics, even though they're not felt to become Roman Catholics and therefore converted to Catholicism and find it as a blessing, then go forth in life and proclaim the message. No, they're born into Catholicism. They don't know the first thing about what's going on with it, but they are taught from an early age to hate the Bible. Okay, the word hate isn't used a lot, but the way they slam it, the way they say that it's got errors in it, and the way they 86.2% of their theology can't even be found in it, I mean, right there tells you. They're going to do everything they can to get people in office that don't want anything to do with that book, so that when we are used by our Father during the latter rain, they're going to have a little bit more power to be able to try and stop us. But they've already lost, so don't let it get to you. Just get as close to Christ as you possibly can. That way he'll use you, and you'll be able to see the eastern sky split with air in your lungs rather than wait until you come out of the grave. Because either way, you're going to see it. If you're one of his children, you may have to die to get there, though. So let me backtrack a little bit where it says, their refusal to surrender the scriptures was also an offense that Rome could not tolerate. She determined to blot them from the earth. Now began the most terrible crusades against God's people in their mountain homes. And this is why you see what's going on now. We know the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be extremely intense for the Christians. This is why you see these type of people in the Supreme Court, and this is why you see Tony Blair, Jeb Bush, and who else just did it? Newt Gingrich converting to Catholicism. They know who's on the winning end of things, worldwide speaking, in other words. They know who's gonna do it. And so they want a piece of the action, just like Herod did in his day. And prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes, and we're seeing how we are going to become extremely unpopular. But again, get close to Christ, and this stuff won't be an issue. If you don't stay in your Bible every day, and then when it gets crazy, and you're sitting there going, I wonder why, well, you're going to have no excuse, just like the 5 foolish virgins don't. It's all going to be your own fault. Summer has ended, harvest is over, you're not saved. It's going to be your own fault, because no one can force you to, you know, seek out Christ. So continuing, she goes, inquisitors were put upon their track, and the scene of innocent Abel falling before the murderous Cain was often repeated. Again and again were the fertile lands laid waste, their dwellings and chapels swept away, so that where once were flourishing fields and homes of an innocent, industrious people, there remained only a desert. And this is why you saw what happened in California the other day. Like a week ago, I put this video on or article on the website about a Baptist. Now, of course, he's a Baptist preacher. They tried this out with a Baptist preacher in Indiana, too, when they first were testing out the 501c3 scenario that George Bush put into law, that now all churches with it are a government agency, in 2006, March 7th, same date that the 321 AD Sunday law started for Constantine. But in the West Coast, there's a family, a preacher, because he had, I think, 10 or 15 people in his home Bible study, the San Diego County officials or something like that shut him down and got in and started asking questions. Do you say amen? Do you say praise the Lord? Do you do this? I mean, if he had a bunch of people over to have a barbecue, not a problem. But if you're having a bunch of people over to talk about Jesus, now there's a problem. They're testing something out. This is, I mean, right before they did all these crazy things with the 501c3, you started seeing the government testing things out to shut down churches that weren't abiding by 501c3 rules and regs. Now they're going after people's homes. They're eventually going to... So, praise the Lord, we're living in these days. We're going to see stuff, and it's going to get crazy, but, you know, it's part of life. So, continuing, she goes, as the ravenous beast is rendered more furious by the taste of blood, so the rage of the papists was kindled to greater intensity by the sufferings of their victims. Many of these witnesses for a pure faith were pursued across the mountains and hunted down in the valleys where they were hidden, shut in by mighty forests and pinnacles of rock. No charge could be brought against the moral character of this proscribed class. Even their enemies declared them to be a peaceable, quiet, pious people. And that's still the same today. This is always what amazes me, and I mentioned this, I don't know how many times in newsletters or little comments online or in sermons, but think about this. These guys out there, and especially with the atheists and all these political hoops, what kind of, you know, whatever is, you know, in office, they've all got this power, and they've all got, I mean, they got weapons of mass destruction, literally. They've got urban assault vehicles that look like German tanks now. I mean, they've got machine guns. They just saw that they did the thing on YouTube. They got a machine gun now that can throw out 3,000 bullets a minute. That's insane. It's just like a buzz, and it's just bullets. They got all these crazy guns and these weapons and these bombs and stuff, yet they fear us with such an intensity that makes you wonder, why do they fear us? They don't. It's the same reason why they're going to fall down and worship at our feet when the eastern sky splits. They're looking at us. They don't seem to realize it's Christ our righteousness. It has nothing to do with us. It's just that we believe in Jesus. They fear a people that is historically peaceable, quiet, pious people. Like Sister White is saying here with these people, with the Walbanese. We don't have guns. We never killed anybody. We're all gentle. We love our neighbors. You know, we turn the other cheek, but yet they fear us to such an intensity because of the demons in them, forcing them to that fearful road rage, if you will. So let me finish this up. I'm not going to finish it today, of course. Their grand offense was that they would not worship God according to the will of the Pope. For this crime, every humiliation, insult, and torture that men or devils could invent was heaped upon them. And so let's end it there. Next week we'll pick it up on page 77, the very first paragraph, coming down from that sentence where it says, when Rome at one time determined to exterminate the hated sect, we'll pick it up there. I didn't even do this right. Page 77, okay, there it is. I got to do this on my server before I forget. Okay, I hope and pray that you're all blessed by what you heard. Be back in a minute.